haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. Where you can also listen to us live on online digital radio. And you can visit us on thesportscast.net. Also follow us on the Sportscast One on Twitter and Instagram. And check out our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. The NBA coaches. But first thing, we got a breaking news story. Lionel Messi, the best soccer player in the world, joins the Miami MLS team, Inter Miami, today. He's signing, and he will make an announcement shortly. And join us all the way from Northern New York, Ryan Krista. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
And Diego, it's good to be here. Staying inside here, I don't know how many people follow these wildfires in Canada, but killing our air here in New York. So we have to stay inside right now. So
that's what I hear. Also, New York City, you got to wear a mask and stay inside. It's affecting everyone.
Yeah, it's bad. It's just So hopefully end sooner than later. But yeah, I guess prayers.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
Thoughts and prayers. Fix the economy. Hopefully things going. But let's start with the story. Lionel Messi joining Inter Miami. He was with PSG. Not got let go. He just, his contract was up. He was previously with Barcelona. He was negotiating with Saudi Arabia, and maybe returning back to Barcelona, but Inter Miami turned out to be the winner. They get him. Obviously, the deal includes some Apple TV residuals, a little agreement with Apple, and also Adidas. Ryan, your thoughts over this move?
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge for MLS. It's, you know, soccer here in America. You know, they get. I mean, I know Messi, is probably not in his prime, you know, but. You're getting a player who's still got something left, you know.
Just the one World Cup recently.
It was one of the, you know, probably, you know, the second best player in the World Cup, you know, in the World Cup, I think, this year, you know, that helped lead Argentina to a championship. This is huge. This is Beckham-ish coming to MLS, you know. He doesn't have that pop, you know, name that Beckham did, but in the soccer world, you know, this is huge, you know, and going to a place, you know, it will attract fans, you know, in Miami, and and I think having the games on Apple TV allows easy worldwide access to MLS. This is big, you know. This is big for MLS, and you know, because not just Miami wins, the whole league wins, because, you know, every time Miami comes to their stadium, you're going to have a sold-out crowd. You have many people watching the games on TV, on the internet. So it's huge. The money will be huge for MLS.
Yeah, huge win. The whole Miami Apple deal is coming into full circle, because there was some criticism that the access to watch MLS games was kind of tight. Because MLS used to be on ESPN and the other big networks, but Apple TV, it's not that hard to get. You just need to have the Apple TV device or the Apple TV Plus app and watch it. But it was a big of a threshold. Of course, you had to pay $100 a year or $14 a month, but it does come full circle, doesn't it, Ryan?
Yeah. Or you just have T-Mobile like me and get it for free. So
yeah, exactly. For the whole season.
So I'm excited, you know. I don't know if I have a really favorite MLS team. I'm just kind of an MLS watcher. So it's, you know, now you got made for TV, you know, appointments watching, you know. So this is big, you know, because more people watch Inter Miami, you know, more people are just going to watch the MLS, and more people getting a soccer here in America. It's just a win-win. It's big.
This kind of reminds me more of Pelé coming to the NASL back in the 70s, more than Beckham coming in 2009.
Yeah, I mean, Beckham was big not because of yes, he's, you know, was a world-class soccer player. Don't get me wrong. But Beckham, you know, he was married to a Spice Girl. He was, you know, he was more of a worldwide icon than beyond soccer. I don't know if you ask people who aren't necessarily huge soccer fans who Messi is, you know, you're not going to.
That's the thing. What if he walks down like the street of Rochester? Will people recognize him?
I don't know. I mean, some would, but I would, but I don't know if everybody would, but if David Beckham walked down, he would. So yeah, it's different, but in the soccer terms, it's big, you know what I mean? Because it's another stamp of approval and MLS and the quality of play. I mean, it's good, San Diego. You know, it's big. You know, they've kind of found this niche here, the MLS. It's thriving. You've got, you know, soccer-specific stadiums that are filled, you know, each and every week, expanding leagues. There's a lot of soccer hotbeds, you know, and MLS is hitting all of them, it seems like.
Precisely. Don't know if the NHL still has more views than soccer itself.
They're kind of the same, you know.
Level?
In the same, in the sense that, you know, you got football and you got basketball who are just going to drive everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody's going to watch and tune, especially football, and then I think basketball will be the next level below that, where you got people just tune in because they like the game. You know, and you get to hockey, you know, more people will turn into playoffs, but in hockey markets, you're going to get a lot of people watching. But now when we were talking about football, you know, you talked about the Buffalo Bills. You know, people are going to watch the Bills in Rochester and Buffalo, but people are going to watch the Bills in California because it's football. I think when you talk about hockey and soccer, you're not necessarily getting those. You're going to watch the team in your city, and it's very localized. But you got a person like Messi. Now everybody's going to want to watch Inter Miami, and then they're going to say, "Oh, this is a good league," you know. So, yeah, we'll see. Does this put pressure on Beckham to add more players to his team to compete?
Correct. We'll see what happens. This deal was anticipated for a bit. I really did think that Saudi Arabia was going to take him because they had a better lucrative offer for $1 billion. But I guess he just said, what I heard is that that Lil Nel, as his wife, wanted to come to Miami. So I think she was the tipping point. And, of course, the Apple deal, just to sweeten up the deal a bit. So good for Messi. Good for Inter Miami.
It's better for his brand, too. You know what I mean? You go in Saudi Arabia, you're going to get a big paycheck. We know it's a big paycheck, but we know what type of soccer they playing. It's probably not very good soccer. You know, you just kind of be there. You go to MLS, yeah, it's not Premier League. It's not La Liga. It's not anywhere near those levels, San Diego. I mean, we're not, we're not fooling ourselves. But it's good soccer. It's quality soccer. And he's going to get a lot of eyes. You know, I think it's not like and when Beckham came in 2009, the league wasn't where it is right now.
Correct. It's a whole different
Beckham factor. Beckham helped. I think Beckham was a stepping point in getting there, you know, funding the league. But so you have deals like this and you're able to expand.
Speaking about Beckham, you know, when he signed that contract, he had the rights to start a MLS franchise. Lil Nel Messi also has a right to start a MLS franchise in the future.
I know. It's very interesting, Sandia. There's a lot
part of the contract.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get Rochester into the pros.
Those days are over, Sandia, unfortunately. Yeah.
All right. Let's go to basketball. A lot going on. We'll preview game 3 a little bit later in the show. But big news out of Los Angeles and the Mavericks. Kyrie Irving, who is a Mavericks player still currently, has contacted LeBron James and hopes to reunite him and Kyrie at Mavericks. They want to create a big three, James, Kyrie, and Luka. Perhaps that might be the tipping point for the Mavs to go deep. Your thoughts over this news? Obviously, this is all hearsay, and I'm sure Kyrie has LeBron's phone number. But your thoughts of maybe LeBron, because LeBron has been flirting the idea of retiring. His last press conference with the Lakers, sounding like he might retire. And he did have a film crew follow him this past season. What are your thoughts over this news?
Well, I think at first I think created a lot of buzz the other day, but I mean, here's what you got to know. Kyrie's a free agent come July 1st. LeBron is under contract. So I think Kyrie sees, you know, it's not going to work out to get him to Los Angeles, really. It's going to be tough to get the money he wants. He knows he can get the money he wants from the Mavericks. To get the money he wants to go to Los Angeles means that he's going to have to be signed and traded from Dallas to Los Angeles, meaning that he'll have to get the most money he can. So I think he sees the value as, I got to get the most money I can, I got to stay in Dallas. So how can I make a big three here in Dallas and get LeBron here? You know, it one way or the other, it's not going to work to get LeBron because Dallas doesn't have enough assets to make this deal work. So
which they've given up a lot for Kyrie.
Exactly. I mean,
which made the Brooklyn Nets
have a number 10 pick. Yeah, they have a number 10 pick. They have, you know, young players and Josh Green and Buck. And contracts are, you know, expiring like Tim Hardaway. But we're talking about LeBron James. I know we're talking about a very old LeBron James who's probably going to play 1 to 2 years. But, you know, LeBron will be a free agent after next year. And I think, you know, you've got to look at what's happening in the future is that you've got Bronny James is hoping to be a one-and-done player playing at USC. You know, he goes to the NBA. You know, wherever Bronny James goes to, you know, is going to have the pull. That's where LeBron will probably play his final season. I think the goal was always to play 1 year of Bronny and then retire. So, I mean, Kyrie desperately just wants to play with LeBron James, is doing everything possible. I mean, ultimately, he didn't want to get traded to Dallas. He wanted to go to get traded to the Lakers last year, and that just didn't work. The Nets weren't going to make that deal. You know, they're going to trade Kyrie, but they're going to trade him for their best option. Dallas is the best option for them, you know, what they got in return. So, I mean, Kyrie chances to play with LeBron James are not big before he retires, but I think it's just the hopes. And, you know, NBA players have a lot of pull and they can make things happen. It just doesn't seem very realistic. And I think if you talk to any NBA insider, there's no creative way to make this happen. I don't think.
You can have all the Woges, you can have the best agents, but like you were saying, it's very, very hard to get this going.
It's very
a lot of wishful thinking.
Santiago. Yeah.
So your thoughts over the Mavericks this past season? Obviously, they did not make the playoffs, not even the play-in. They had a huge backstep. Your thoughts, and what should the Mavericks do now?
Well, so we'll take it back into last week of the regular season. You know, there's a good chance that, you know, as they're progressing, they were going to be in the play-in. You know, so between the right, you know, they're going to be the 9th or 10th seed, and I think if they are the 9th or 10th seed, the chances of, you know, they have a trade, you know, with Kristaps Porzingis when they traded him to the Knicks, or they got Kristaps Porzingis from the Knicks, is that, you know, it was a protected pick. So, meaning if the Mavericks got under the top 10 in this draft, they got to keep the pick. If it's beyond the top 10, it'll go to the Knicks. So if they would have made the play, and the chances of keeping that pick are slim to none. But so they figured their best option to help the team going forward was to take the chance, tank the last season, test the season, not make the playoffs, and hope that they would make, you know, top 10 and pick, which worked out. So everything has kind of gone as planned. So they have the number 10 pick. You know, and when we talk about the Kyrie trade, you know, they got it a lot. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith, Spencer Dinwiddie, those are key members of the team the last couple of years. You know, Dorian Finney-Smith is one of the best defenders in the NBA. And it showed the last month of the season, Santiago. They could not stop anybody. Yeah, they could score with Kyrie and Luka, but those are two pretty bad defenders, you know. So now you're taking away. And Spencer Dinwiddie is, you know, I mean, he's not first-team defender, but he can compete on the defense end more than Luka and Kyrie did. So you lose a lot in that trade. So now you got to build up kind of the core of this team back up beyond Luka and Kyrie. You know, that's the hopes that they resign Kyrie, you know?
Do you think they will resign Kyrie? Or like, what is Mark Cuban indicating? What are the insiders indicating? What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, there's been talks that there was already a handshake deal on the number that Kyrie wanted. You know, he got traded. You know, that they only accepted this trade with the plan of Kyrie signing again, which is probably true. But, I mean, we're talking about Kyrie Irving, who, you know, could change his mind. There's really nothing holding to it. Somebody goes, you know, and, you know, he finds a better place. He wants to play. He walks, and you're ended up with Luka looking around at the roster he has and thinking, oh, don't, you know. The hope is that you want to keep Luka happy enough that he stays, you know. In this age, you know, I mean, how long can you keep a superstar happy without winning a championship? So, I mean, they obviously took a major step back when you're going from the Western Conference Finals to not even making the playoffs. So, they have a lot of questions. You know, what do they do with the number 10 pick? Do they use that on a player in the draft, or do they try to go and use this as a trade bait to kind of get that veteran core player that we talked about, like a Dorian Finney-Smith that can come in right away, you know, and contribute in many different ways, not just in scoring. So we'll see what they do, you know, next couple of weeks and what they do in free agency, you know. With the, you know, the anticipation of re-signing Kyrie, you know, you're really left with not much room to sign because you do have some, you know, you have a Tim Hardaway
tight roster.
Which makes way too much money, you know. You know, another contract they want to get out of, you know, so.
Yeah, very tight roster from there.
Yeah, you're right.
Pretty thin roster. So we'll see what happens in Dallas. They got Luka at least, so he's not going anywhere. Brooklyn Nets, they are changing things around. They have hired Kevin Ollie as an assistant coach. He won the NCAA championship as a Connecticut coach in 2014 and has been a finalist for the Detroit Pistons head job, which that went to someone else. And he's joined, obviously, head coach Jack Vaughn. Kevin Ollie, this Nets team is kind of bolstering up there with some Mavericks, former Maverick players.
Yeah, you know, I mean, good pickup. I mean, he worked in the G League under what they call the G League Ignite, which is basically the best would-be high school or college freshmen. Instead of going to college, they go to what they call the G League Ignite. So they can't play in the NBA, but allows them kind of to play professional basketball, whatnot, in the NBA. So he coached there. Pretty successful there. Obviously was in the running, you said, for a couple of, you know, Pistons jobs. I think interview for the Raptors, ultimately, you know, didn't get any of those. So I think, you know, he wants to stay, you know, in the forefront, and you go to the Nets, you know, I mean, again, you know, I think the Nets are always, you know, kind of building their coaching staff around, you know, trying to find veteran coaches to kind of build around with Jacques Vaughn, you know, who had came in pretty good, you know, after Steve Nash was fired. So, a solid landing spot for him, you know, as he tries to, again, you want to keep your name in the running, keep him in the news, so then you ultimately do get that head coaching job one day.
One day it is. Also, joining Kevin Ollie and Jack Vaughn, Sam Cassell, former Milwaukee Bucks star.
Yeah, yep.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think another player who wants to ultimately be a head coach, ex-player wants to be a head coach in the NBA, you know.
He's actually going to Celtics. My apologies.
Celtics, that's what I meant to say. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Joe Mazzulla, I mean, you want to add more same thing you want to do, Jacques Vaughn, you want to keep on adding more veteran coaches. Sam Cassell, you know, I think is a name who will be a head coach sooner than later. Who's a smart point guard, you know, I think was kind of a key piece in, you know, turning James Harden around this year, you know, in the way he plays. So we'll see. You know, I think it showed at times that Joe Mazzulla is a good leader, but needs more X's and O's guys. And this is kind of a fit I think Sam Cassell can help him out with.
Talking about Mazzulla, Celtics made it to the Eastern Conference Finals this past year. Same for a year ago, but with Coach Ime Aduka. Your thoughts over Missoula versus Aduka? Who did better? It's the same, but your thoughts over Missoula's performance?
I think in the finals, Eastern Conference finals against you, Forster, who I think is the best X's and O's guy in the NBA, he seemed to be outdueled a couple of times. I think anybody knows that the Celtics roster was probably better than the Heat roster. But I think during the course of the season, he excelled. I had a lot of good moments at the most out of the Celtics. Because I think there's always this feeling that the Celtics, I think even when Udoka last year, that they started off so slow and they kind of turned it on. They never really fell off this last year. They just never, I don't think they ever reached their potential, but they never hit the bottom. They were just kind of glided. Even to the playoffs, there were some head-scratchy moments, even when they beat the Sixers. You know, there's a couple games you're like, they just didn't play well. I don't know if that goes on the head coach or not, but we'll see.
Keep going here. Former Duke star Steve Wojnarowski takes helm at the Jazz G League squad. Great Duke player. He's coaching there.
Yeah, this is big for him. You know, I got former, college coach at Marquette, former star point guard for Duke. You know, again, player who's looking to
Are you okay? You're at the ATM machine, Ryan.
My phone's going off.
We're talking about Steve Wojnarowski. Former Duke star.
He coached at Marquette, you know, did okay there. But we'll see what happens. Good chance for him to, try his craft in that and professional basketball. So we'll see.
Another hire, Phoenix Suns hire former Laker coach Frank Vogel. This Suns team has a lot of stars. Kevin Durant, of course. Your thoughts over this hire? Would this make the Suns help them beat the Nuggets finally?
Yeah. I like this, Cynthia. It's a good hire for everybody. I think everybody wins in this one. I think Frank Vogel is an underrated coach. I think people kind of underestimate his value. I think, he's a guy who won in the bubble and then kind of got left for tossed aside after that. So I think he's the kind of guy I think can get the Suns to that next level. And I think that's what he sold them on and that's what he can do.
I think the closest series for the Nuggets, Ryan, in the West was against the Suns. They blew out the Lakers and the Timberwolves, but the Suns could have done it. They could have beat the Nuggets.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think we talked about a couple weeks ago that the Suns just didn't have enough time with everybody there. You know, Kevin Durant didn't play enough games. I think Frank Vogel adding his system can help out, so.
Another hire, Monty Williams, also a former Sun, is now head coach for the Detroit Pistons. 6 years, $2 million. This is huge for Monty. Maybe his retirement check. I think we lost Ryan. Ryan has been lost. Well, there you have it. We are going through the NBA coaches rundown here. A lot going on. Obviously, we're at the end of the season with the finals going on in the NBA. Suns hire former Lakers coach Frank Vogel. Pistons hiring Monty Williams as head coach with 6 year, $72 million. And of course, we're going to be talking about Nick Nurse as the Sixers head coach as well. So a lot going on with these teams. They're all playoff teams. Except the Pistons. They haven't been a playoff team in a while. And the Bucks hiring the Raptors assistant coach Adrian Griffin. As head coach. Yeah, Bucks hire Adrian Griffin as head coach. He was formerly at the Toronto Raptors. So a lot going on in NBA and there as well. And as we go into the finals, game three tonight, so it's going to be pretty exciting of what's going to happen with the NBA. But a lot of stars, you know, are wondering where they should go. And these coaches have a lot to say, you know, hey, he's coaching there, I'm more intrigued to move to that team and things like that. So we'll see what happens. Of course, a lot of movement. The season's not over, so we do have the whole summer left, and of course the fall. So a lot going on in the NBA. Who do I have tonight? I would say I do got the Heat winning tonight, but there is a stat out there that the Mavericks, that the Nuggets have not lost back to back. So that should be quite a challenge for the Heat either way, whether that's stat or not. So we'll see what happens in the next upcoming days and months, weeks and months. Also, we got the Champions League final this weekend between Manchester City versus Inter Milan. The match will be, the final will be held in Istanbul, Turkey. So we're going to look towards that. Of course, we'll have Ryan Christie, who's coming back shortly. He'll be talking about who does he have going for the, who will win the Champions League final this year.
Hey, I'm back, Santiago.
Hi, we're back. So we were talking about Pistons hiring Monty Williams as the head coach. 6 years, $72 million. That could be his retirement check as well.
Yeah, I think it's funny. So that he said no first to the Pistons, but if I asked, you know, gave him a, you know, good deal, but this is obviously a deal I just don't think he could say no to. The coach has a lot of money.
It's a deal he cannot refuse.
And this team has a lot of talent. You know, they pick a lot. I just don't know if it all fits together, and they basically hire him to say, put it together and make it work. So, obviously, you know, a man of high character, I think.
Which he did well in Phoenix.
It's one of those things, you know, that you look at the coaches with the two highest success last couple of years, you know, Monte Williams and Mike Budenholzer, and they both like lost. You know, it's about winning championships in the NBA, and that's
the
ultimate goal. Yeah. So, and Mike Budenholzer won a championship. He beat Monte Williams 2 years ago, and he still ends up with no job. So.
Another coach who has won a championship, Nick Nurse, is going to Philadelphia 76ers to join Joel Embiid and James Harden. What do you think about this move? Is this what the Sixers need to make it to an Eastern Conference final, which they haven't gone since 2001?
This is another move. They try to push another button to get the job done. So, I don't know. I think Nick Nurse is perfect for Toronto.
Has championship experience.
I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. I guess this will see if, you know, this will test, you know, with Monty Williams and Nick Nurse, this is kind of test, you know, was it the players or was it the coach that kind of, you know, so, or kind of, but so this will be another test to see that happens. I don't think there's even a guarantee James Harden will be there. I mean, James Harden's looking to get back to Houston. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to work a way to get Fred VanVleet to come from Toronto to Philadelphia. So,
interesting move there. Obviously, we got, like I said before, we got months ahead in the NBA offseason. Still not the offseason yet because we do have the finals still ahead. And finally, for this coach roundup, Ryan, Bucks hiring Raptors assistant Adrian Griffin as head coach. And see what he does with Giannis.
Yeah, exactly. You know, make the players work, make the system
who
work.
Who lost against the Miami Heat, the 8th seed?
Yeah. At first we thought, you know, what happened to the Bucks? But end of the Heat, we're doing here pretty good. So I don't know.
They are legitimate.
Yeah, I think Mike Budenholzer got a raw deal there, but that's just me. again, ultimately, it's about keep on winning championship. You got the best player in the prime of his career, you know, and you just got, Bucks organizations, you know, I think this idea they got to win championships now, you know, so because beyond Giannis, you know, you've got Chris Middleton, you know, who I don't know, he's, you know, a good role player, kind of not quite a superstar, just maybe a good player. And you got Jrue Holiday, you know, kind of at the end of his prime. So you got your windows opening now, and they just want to keep winning championships.
Whom the Bucks have won the championship about 2-3 years ago, so they're not foreign to it, but they got to win another one, unfortunately.
That's the goal.
That's the goal. There you have it. Well, that's our coaches roundup. Any other predictions for coaches you see or been hearing lingering? Obviously, you know, there's been a lot of hires, but do you have any predictions?
I would like to see Steve Nash coach the Raptors. I think it would be cool. Mr. Canada coaches Canada's team. So that's the only my hope, but I really have no idea. So
that's not a bad one. But Steve Nash didn't do that well with Brooklyn. Do you think he still has coaching capability?
That was a hard team to coach. I know the players are good, but there's a lot of personalities on that. So I don't know if that was a fair shake. So
how about Doc Rivers? Where do you think he'll go?
I think he kind of steps back. I don't know if he'll go on the TV, but I think he at least takes a year off.
Yeah, he's like he's a veteran coach. He's been coaching for a while, maybe 20 years or so. So we'll see what happens. Obviously, with these coaches, a lot going on. Anyways, tonight, game 3, the series, the finals shift back to Miami, shifts to Miami. Denver Nuggets at Miami Heat. Series is 1-1. After game 1, everyone thought, oh, Nuggets are going to sweep it. And then Heat came back, a great performance by Bam, Jimmy Butler, and, of course, Duncan Robinson. Your thoughts for tonight? Give us a preview tonight, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, the series heads back to Miami. I mean, the Heat just played so well. Their role players played well the other night. And, you know, I think that what makes Sosa so good, you know, as the X's own bag is basically said, Jokic, you beat us. He scored 41 points, but what did Jokic not do? He didn't have the assists. He only had 4 assists. You know, when he doesn't get that amount of assists and gets everybody else involved, I don't think the Nuggets are as good a team. So, I mean, the Nuggets will make adjustments. Malone's a good coach. So we'll see what they do. But if Jokic can, you know, get that 30 points, 10-plus assists, I think they're going to be hard to beat. So we'll see that, you know, that cat-and-mouse game between the coaches and see what happens. But I'm going to say the Nuggets kind of get back into shape and win tonight's game.
The Nuggets have never lost a home game since March, and that streak was cut off against Miami on game 2, and Nuggets have never lost back to back. So it might be the Nuggets are favored for tonight, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, the Nuggets are a better team. There's no difference in their butts, you know. But the Heat are a gritty team. They make open shots. Your role players, you know, like you said, Robinson, Strauss, Vincent. If they make those shots, those tough shots, you know, they're tough to beat, you know. Bam's playing well. I think one thing, the weakness of the Nuggets is that they don't have good interior defense. Jokic isn't a shot blocker. Gordon's not a shot blocker. So you keep on attacking them. And one subtle change, in game 1, the Heat were killed by Aaron Gordon in the first quarter. What did they do to change that? They put Kevin Love. You know, Kevin Love isn't a defensive stopper, but he's a bigger body.
I remember him.
Caleb Martin. Yeah. I think, you know, Kevin Love isn't going to do much, but he stopped the momentum and Aaron Gordon didn't really get going. Big change, you know, subtle change in a sense of there wasn't, you know, huge impact in the score sheet, but I think that.
But great rebounder.
Yeah, he's just a bigger body, you know. Aaron Gordon is just able to throw around, you know, whoever was guarding him, you know, whether it was Martin or Vincent or even Butler, you know, they kind of stop him. So, you put Kevin Love in there. Kevin Love basically was able to neutralize him starting off in the top. So, it just threw him off just a little bit.
Overall, Ryan, who do you got winning this series? Because you, you know, because we haven't spoken before the series started, but who do you think?
I had the Nuggets winning in five, and I still think the Nuggets win in five.
And win in five. Wow. I don't think so anymore. I think Heat in seven, which I've been saying it for a bit. So.
Yeah. I mean, nothing would surprise me. You know, I think I just needed to see the Heat win a game and to see them go win in Denver.
Which is stealing home court advantage from Doug. Yeah. So they're doing the adjustments. We'll see how the Nuggets do. How Phillips says Heat has a little bit of a they have a deeper bench versus the Nuggets.
They do, and the Nuggets don't have much of a bench other than Christian Braun. You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of bright spots for the Nuggets the other night, but he was one. I mean, off the bench. So, other than him and, you know, Jeff Green, you know, they don't get much off the bench for sure.
The Nugs. We'll see what happens game three. I got Miami winning it, going 2-1. I predict Miami to win every game, so I might not be the good objective when it comes to the finals.
You're a hometown fan. You're tough.
Exactly. Another Florida team, another South Florida team, Florida Panthers, Knights. Series is 2-0 by Las Vegas. The series shifts back to Florida tomorrow. Will Florida cut the series in half, or will the Knights extend the series to 3? Your prediction.
The Knights have just been dominant. You know, they're doing, you know, the Knights have an ability of kind of suffocating you on both ends of the ice. You know, they make it very tough, you know. The Panthers want, you know, to, you know, basically play on their end. They want to keep attacking you and wear you down. The Knights don't let you control the puck in your own end. The Knights have a ability to kind of cut you off from doing that and do that to, you know, both teams want to dominate, you know, and wear you down by making you play defense all the time. The Knights have been doing that, you know, and the Panthers have been on their heels, and the Knights have capitalized, and it's kind of frustrating. And then the Panthers, I think, got frustrated. They tried to be overly physical and ended up costing them. They took a lot of penalties. I think they've set the record for the most penalty minutes in the first two games of NHL playoffs. But still, you know, so the shift cities, the shift teams. We'll see if the Panthers can feed off some energy off the home ice, out home crowd tomorrow night. But I mean, if the Knights win, you know, next game, it's over. You know, no one's beaten the Knights four times in a row. The Knights are just so well constructed. You know, Santiago, for people who don't follow hockey, the Knights are like the Rams. If everybody remembers how the Rams have built their team by just overspending on everybody in the present, and eventually it's going to catch up to them. But right now, they're the best constructed roster in the NHL. Not even close. So with Montana, the same way the Rams were so well constructed a couple years ago. Eventually, the wheels are going to fall off the wagon, but you know, right now, they're in the Stanley Cup, and they're two wins away from winning it. So,
two games winning it. Keep in mind, Panthers were down 3-1 against Boston Bruins, 3-1, came back, won the series. They were an 8 seed, and Boston was the first number one seed. So, things don't check out the Panthers. They could always come back, even though if they go down 3-0, which is not a good thing.
But. Absolutely, Santiago. Panthers, you know, Panthers are a team, remember, last year they were the Bruins in the sense of were number leading one. The league, number one team in all of hockey, and I'm getting upset. It's kind of the curse of being what they call the President's Trophy in the NHL, the team with the most points in regular season. It's
the
quite an
community
honor,
shield.
You know? Yeah, kind of, it's quite an honor, but it doesn't always equivalent to playoff success, so... so yes, this team has a lot of talent. They have most of these players back, and they kind of underachieved a lot this year. But again, it's like the Heat. They caught fire at the right time.
There you have it. We'll see what happens in hockey. A lot of exciting things so far. The finals are more exciting than the Stanley Cup finals, but things can change in an instant. Man City versus Inter Milan for the Champions League final. Who you got? The game will be in Istanbul, Turkey.
It's hard to go against Man City, Santiago. When we're talking about teams that are ridiculously well-built, I mean, in soccer, that's Man City. There's nothing wrong with Milan. I think they're a good team, obviously. They're another superpower in the world, but I just can't ever go against Man City.
You can never go. They won the double, the Premier League they won, and the FA Cup. They need one more to win the treble. And this is the one that Pep Guardiola has not won in a while since he's left Barcelona with a Lionel Messi in his prime. And maybe he can do it again this year. Bull question. You know. Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
No, I just say this again, you know, they're stacked from top to bottom. You know, they did, again, that's another thing that suffocates you, you know, the way they play. So we'll see.
Poll question. Anything else before we get into the poll question?
No, I mean, we're in finals week, you know, and then, you know, we both, you know, we got, obviously we have baseball always in the background, but, you know, we'll enter once the finals over. We'll,
shooting .400. Yeah. I mean, not shooting. Hitting.
This is a great time to be a Miami sports fan, Santiago.
It's coming to fruition. Finally. And maybe hopefully Tua will come through for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I mean, starting with March Madness, we had FAU and Miami, and this has been on fire since then.
It's on fire, but we'll see what happens. We want to win some chips. It's all or nothing. Poll question of the day, Ryan. Yeah. Favorite ice cream flavor with chocolate, Rocky Road, mint chocolate chip, cookies and cream, or chocolate and peanut butter?
Well, those choices probably mint chocolate chip. I'm more of a cookie dough fan myself.
Cookie dough. Oh, that's a good option. These were like the top four from the internet. And cookies and cream is winning at 50%. Rocky Road and chocolate and peanut butter are tied at 25. Mint chocolate chip is at 0.
I mean, I'm any of those are fine. Like cookies and cream is I'll choose that once in a while. I'm not a huge mint fan in the sense of flavor, but for some reason, mint chocolate chip is one of my favorite ice cream flavors.
It is not one of my favorites. I'll eat it, but it's not my go-to.
Okay, yeah, I feel a lot of people, yeah. Kind of like how I feel the other choices.
Exactly. Ryan, what is the best way to reach you online to give you ideas of where D-Hop, DeAndre Hopkins, will go next season?
Oh, geez, I don't think anybody knows. I think we'll talk many times before he actually signs somewhere. So, but Mad Dog Report on Twitter. So.
Mad Dog Report on Twitter. Check him out. You can reach us at sportscast.net. Or the Sportscast One on Twitter and Instagram. Will be following along this week. The finals, of course. Tonight, got the top 25 rundown. They're going to recap the college baseball World Series. What's going to happen there? Things are kind of fruitioning out. And, of course, the Stanley Cup finals and recapping there. And, of course, the Champions League final, which we'll be live tweeting. See how many goals Erling Haaland will score. Ryan, Krista, it's been a flabbergasted show. I appreciate you coming on.
No problem, Santiago. God bless everybody.
And this was your update.